Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Money FM 89.3, welcome back to Sustainable Singapore with me, Rianne Lovell-Boland. Now, arguably one of the most famous environmentalists is 95-year-old Sir David Attenborough, who has been making nature documentaries for almost seven decades. He and his team are back with a five-part series called The Green Planet, which aims to showcase Earth from the perspective of plants. The BBC Studios' world-renowned National History Unit team were able to capture the plant kingdom using pioneering new technology and the very latest science. So I'm honoured to be joined on the line by Mike Gunton, executive producer of The Green Planet, to share more about the series. So The Green Planet looks at Earth from the perspective of plants for the first time. So how did this idea come about? I mean, especially as we're more used to seeing animals on screen from, you know, Sir David Attenborough.
How it came about essentially was, part of my job as a creative director is to be thinking about what's the next zeitgeist, what's the next thing that's going to be interesting in about 4 or 5 years' time, because of course these things take so long to make. You have to be thinking a bit like we've done in the series. You have to think in tree time. You have to think in a different time perspective. What's going to be interesting in 4 or 5 years' time? And I obviously, most of the job is thinking about how to tell stories about the animal world in new ways. But thinking, well, actually, could we tell stories about a different part of the natural world in a different way? And I sort of sense that there are lots of books coming out, and lots of people beginning to talk about reimagining the world of trees and the world of plants. So I thought this was bubbling up. And I remember from I'm old enough to remember the 80s when there was sort of tree hugging was a big thing and the saving the planet and all that stuff. So I thought maybe this is coming. As it's turned out, it was a fortunate bit of insight, because that is actually what has happened. You know, suddenly the plant world has become very much front of mind. So happily, you know, I think we've hit it. The other thing that was coming in my ear was scientists were beginning to talk about how they were reimagining the world of plants. You know, the scientific community was starting to talk about plant behavior. And of course, if you're a filmmaker, you want to be able to show things doing things. And so plant behavior was a really fascinating idea. That's how we started thinking about it. And of course, the other thing was that David Attenborough was very keen on the idea, because he always likes to do, as he calls it, plow new furrows, something new. And he felt this is something that's part of the natural world that we hadn't looked at for so long, and its time was due. The only thing to add, really, I suppose, is that it is framed as a sort of a planet type. You know, the reason why it's called The Green Planet is partly to reflect the ambition and the scale of the project. It is in the planet Earth family, if you like, and we do refer to it as planet Earth for plants. And that's both reflecting the ambition and the visual approach, but also the format. You know, it is done by habitat and the challenges those habitats impose on the life forms within them. There's five worlds. There's a desert world, a water world, a tropical world, a seasonal world, and actually a human world, which is an interesting final episode, which looks at how plants and we live together, both in a positive way and sometimes in a less positive way.
So the programme was able to capture plants' perspective of Earth by using breakthrough motion sensor time-lapse technology. So could you just walk us through how the team used this technology and some of the logistics of filming?
Yeah, so the reason why this hasn't been done before and why it's so difficult to do is because plants live in this completely different time frame. They live in a parallel universe. And, you know, for many of us, most people are plant blind. They don't really realize what's going on in a plant world because we can't see it. It's unseeable in many ways. So the challenge for us was to take the audience through a kind of portal into this parallel universe. It's a little bit like The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe. You know, that you will go through that wardrobe, and the back of the wardrobe takes you into this Narnia world. That's what we've tried to do with our approach. And when you do go through that world, you start to see their lives in a different way. But you have to be able to see them as if you were a tree. You know, you have to think and see in tree time. So we had to find some technology that does that. And of course, it really ultimately boils down to speeding time up, because they live their lives in this slightly slower time frame. And that means time-lapse photography. Now, time-lapse photography is almost as old as filmmaking. You know, people have been doing time-lapse since they first started playing with cameras 100 years ago. But it's pretty much been undeveloped. It was very, very much a sort of tableau approach. You'd have a camera set up and stuff happens in that shot and that's it. What we wanted to do was to be able to replicate that sense we had in Planet Earth 2, which is rather than just stepping back and observing things, you actually immerse yourself in those, in the lives of the of your subjects. You're, the camera is effectively on the shoulder of the of your star, whether it's an iguana or a lion, but in this case, it's a plant. So we had to be able to replicate that moving camera approach. And that's incredibly difficult in a time-lapse world because you have to be able to think in a slightly different, well, not slightly, a very different way about where the camera is going to be in various times through the plant's life. So the only way we could do that was by a combination of brilliance from some of our team and a bit of good fortune in that there was a chap in America who is an ex-military engineer who loves time-lapse and has always been fascinated. And as a hobby was kind of creating these cameras. But he created a robotic, a system, effectively a robotic camera, motion control camera, which allowed the camera to be in various positions at different times and be able to return to predefined locations or controlled by computers. Let me give you an example. So if you wanted to see the relationship between two plants which were fighting each other, if that was an animal, you might be able to have two cameras, or while the fight was going on, you'd be able to pick the camera up and run around to get a different perspective. You can't do that in a time-lapse world. So what we had to be able to do is to be able to take both perspectives. So the camera, effectively, that's plant A, the camera is taking its perspective. And while it's growing, it has time to whip round and get to where plant B is and get camera B's perspective and take a shot there and then return. And it effectively is ping-ponging backwards and forwards to these different perspectives. So when you see it playing out, you get both perspectives of these two antagonists fighting, and suddenly you're in that world. We've likened it to a sort of akin to the scene in Rocky, where, you know, in the ring, where Rocky Balboa is fighting his final opponent.
So usually with these documentaries, they take years and years. So could you just share about how long was the filming and production process?
Well, the idea was originally pitched in 2017, and we got into production in 2018. So it's effectively 4 years it's taken us to do this. And that's been slightly compounded by the challenges of the lockdown and COVID. You know, it has made it a tricky project to work on because inevitably, you know, lots of the countries that we needed to go to in the tropical worlds and all this were locked down for long periods. So that's been a challenge. But we did manage to get to 27 different countries. And I don't know how many different filming trips, but well over 100 different sort of expeditions to film plants in the wild. And of course, we've also got our sort of home base studios where we're shooting some of these, the detail of the time lapses in the UK.
Now, of course, this series sees Sir David Attenborough on location, so it would really be remiss of me not to ask what he's like to work with. And does he still have a passion for travelling to these remote locations around the world?
Well, that was a key part of the offering. We wanted and needed David to be our kind of guide through this into this Narnia parallel universe, and he loved the idea of it because he loves. Treading new ground, as he calls it. He felt this was definitely treading new ground scientifically, visually, narratively, and in just in entertainment terms as well. So he was absolutely up for traveling. I mean, you've got to remember, he's in his 90s, but we did these extraordinary road trips all over the tropics and deserts and right up to the edge of the Arctic Circle. And he absolutely really enjoyed it. We love working with him. I've done this with him for 35 years or so, and the pleasure of saying action David, you know, after 35 years and still getting the same amazing performances from him on these locations was absolutely superb. And it feels like he owns this series in a way that I think is really, really strong and important.
Mike, it's been absolutely wonderful to speak with you.
A pleasure. Nice to talk to you too.
I've been speaking with Mike Gunton, executive producer at The Green Planet at the BBC. I'm Rhianne Lovell-Boland. This has been Sustainable Singapore on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.